Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor, who's enjoying sunny Florida right now. Coach, are there team updates for us?
Well, you know what? We kind of put a pause on everything, a hard stop, pause on everything. Time to get away and enjoy the holiday for a little bit. So I'm down in actually in South Florida, just visiting family. So I know our guys. I know starting Monday, from a player standpoint, them guys are going to be back in town. And, you know, they're obviously doing things on their own until August 9th, but I know that they're anxious for that. And then coaches-wise, you know, we really kind of turn things up starting on Monday as far as making sure that our coaches are, you know, just, you know, figuring out week one, week two, and going from there. So.
Well, that's a good lead-in, Coach, because let's start with Hal, who would like to know. He says, now that you've made it past July 4th, how does your schedule and approach to the team change?
Sure, yeah. Well, again, just being in South Florida until tomorrow on a small vacation, you know, everything is amps up. You know, like we start with week one, week two opponents. We have a big recruiting weekend on Wednesday and another one next Saturday. So we're busy. It's time to go. So we'll finish up a little bit of 2024 and then at all speed ahead. You know, we kind of actually got to, for us, we're going to, you know, turn all of our attention on to week one here, man. So.
Next up is Drew, who says, you said that your focus changes after July 4th and you are more locked in to the upcoming season at that point. Is that true for players as well?
Yeah, it's a little bit of conditioning, right? You know, they always say excuse me if you hear rumbling in the back because it's getting ready to thunderstorm in South Florida, but they always say that your team takes the personality of your head coach. Man, I try to tell those guys, you know, once July 4th is over, man, vacation and all that other stuff, that's over, that's done. You know, it's time to get ready to go. You know, you got three to four weeks to really lock in on your condition, and you got to be in excellent condition. And then, you know, just getting ready for it. Those guys, our players just need to be in condition. But from a coaching standpoint, we need to be, you know, dialed in on training camp, what we got to get accomplished, and obviously doing our opponent studies. So, yep.
Chris says, with so many students involved in social media these days, it would seem to me that having a big social media presence would be important for you as well. But you made the decision not to be on social media personally. Could you explain the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, no, that's fair. You know, I just talking to our recruits actually on, we had some kids on campus June 27th. I just had to explain something that I have to be myself. You know, if that's not something that I do or something I believe in, same thing I talk to my players about, then you go with your heart. You know, social media is something that is used positively in recruiting, and I think is used negatively sometimes in recruiting because it's all about, you know, me, and what am I doing in this? You know what? We recruit our kids in the right way. We get the right kids here, and they understand. And I tell them that up front. Hey, I'm not a social media guy, and I'm going to recruit you that way. You know, if we're recruiting you, we like you. We don't throw out a bunch of offers online. We don't do all that stuff, man. If we're recruiting you, we talk to your high school coach. We feel like you're fit academically, socially, and obviously you can play ball, then we're going to recruit you. We don't do that stuff. So in that, not to knock anybody that does, but that's just the way we are, and that's just the identity of who I am. And I guess, you know, if and when a new guy comes in here, you know, he might be all social media'd up at Hamlin, so, and that's okay. So yeah, I gotta be true to who I am.
Makes good sense. Byron says, Coach, remember the slash guys like Cordell Stewart, guys who came out as quarterbacks but turned into players who could do many things? It looks like coaches have gotten away from that idea, but I always thought it was a good idea to have a player who could throw, catch, and run. Would you agree that this seems to be a valuable tool that a player like that could have that could be a great arsenal for a team?
Well, first of all, love the throwback of Slash. I was actually just watching, I was watching a game of him in college at Colorado, and a game came on with him at the Steelers when he was playing receiver. So it's funny that question came up. I'm a big believer in it, and for two reasons. One, we have a kid on our team right now, Alec Ralph, who's a quarterback, identifies as a quarterback, but he didn't win the job in 2021. And came in, was able to throw a touchdown pass, ran the ball for us. I mean, so he was a guy that did everything. So I'm excited to see him come back this year and see how he fits into the mold. And then, unnaturally, but when I was in college, I guess I should back up to high school. I was a high school quarterback, and then when I got to college, you know, I played receiver and defensive back. But the unique thing about the head coach I played for, he recruited a lot of quarterbacks, and he always felt like those are the smartest dudes on the team. They're tough. They're leaders. And he moved them to different positions. So at my freshman year at Illinois State in 1998, I think we counted, there was somewhere between 12 and 14 high school quarterbacks on that team playing different positions. So I thought that was very strategic and smart by Coach Barry for doing that. So, yeah, I'm a big believer in people playing different positions and being able to have different skill sets. Absolutely.
Our buddy Tyler returns, says, Coach, you got Quaker State 400 in Atlanta this weekend, the Crayon 301 in New Hampshire, Pocono, and Richmond coming up in July. Which of these races are you looking forward to the most?
I'd say Atlanta and Pocono. Atlanta's one because it's a track that I really want to get to. It's a mile and a half, but that'll be fun. And then Pocono, because I've been there before, that's a tricky triangle, so I'm excited. And I don't know much about New Hampshire and the other one, but I mean, all of them. Uh-oh, there goes the thunder. I love it. But you got to love the hopefully everybody heard that on the podcast. That would be awesome. But you got to love the different races. But Atlanta and Pocono, I would say.
Aaron says, Coach, I hear you love NASCAR, but don't like to drive particularly fast. How does that opposite work together?
Well, that's a fair question. I don't like police. I shouldn't say that. I want to be respectful of the law. Like, I don't like to get stopped by the cops. The way I look at it is if I do the speed limit, the cops will chase the guys that are not doing the speed limit. So that's a deal.
That's just smart thinking right there. Next up, we have Rich. His first question is, what is something that you think is a perfect 10 that is the very best and you would recommend to someone else without question?
What do I think is the very... Well, I'm sorry, I didn't miss it. I missed the question. What was the very what?
So what is something you think is a perfect 10 that you would recommend to somebody without
question? Wow. Holy smokes. Wow. Man, I hate getting stumped. Perfect 10? Wow. It's funny you say that because I don't really believe in perfect 10s. I don't think there's anything that's perfect. But something that's pretty close is, I would say maybe taking a trip to the Caribbean. You know, there's some beautiful islands down in the Caribbean. Gosh, man, a perfect 10. Yeah, I'd probably just say, maybe taking a nice trip down to the Caribbean and all inclusive, where you don't have to worry about food or, any excursions, things like that. I'd probably say maybe is a perfect 10. That's a great question.
He'd also like to know, what is something you would like to become a master at?
I would love to become a master at playing chess. I do enjoy the game. Actually, I taught my son how to play chess when he was 5 years old, and I can't beat him now. He beats me up, but chess. I'd love to be a master at chess. You got some people that can play chess and beat you in 3, 4, 5 moves, man, which I think is that's really good.
You know, the people I hate are the ones who go, okay, I'm going to beat you in 4 moves.
Oh, my goodness. And you got some people that are like that. Absolutely.
Raymond would like to know, what's your favorite day of the year?
Ooh. The favorite day of the year, maybe the favorite day of the year is probably, I said it on the show before. I'm not going to change it. I'd say New Year's Eve. I do enjoy New Year's Eve. I enjoy it just because you're looking forward to the turn of the turn of the new year and starting over. So I'd say New Year's Eve.
And what's our words of wisdom for this week, Coach?
Wow. I always like to end with, first of all, thanks for listening. One of the main reasons why I'm down in South Florida, my son graduated from high school. He has a cousin who lives in South Florida, and she graduated from high school the same year. And the tricky story behind it is my cousin Lucy would fly up to Minnesota when she was 12 and 13 and would go to summer camps at Hamlin. So just being able to see those guys celebrate together last night was awesome. Words of wisdom, like same thing I told both my cousin and my son last night at the dinner party, from a words of wisdom standpoint, is just, family is important. Keep your family close. Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Learn from your mistakes and don't make the same mistakes twice. That's the words of wisdom for my son and my cousin, and that'll be the words of wisdom for this week.
Fantastic. Coach Taylor, thanks for joining us this week.
All right, thanks for listening.